McShane Bible Study Day 336, and we're also going to do a little bit of 337, just because I'm going to have a tighter morning tomorrow. So we're going to do 2 Chronicles chapters 1 and 2, and so, you know, David died in the end of the last book, right? Solomon is now king, and he's firmly established in his kingdom. He's not going through the difficulties his father had to become king, right? Mm-hmm. When all of Israel didn't want to follow him for 7 years. He's king, everyone agrees he's king, he's a super powerful, wealthy king, and, but what's the first thing he wants to do? He wants to go and honor God, and it's interesting to me that when David moved the Ark into Jerusalem, the Ark of the Covenant, he didn't bring the whole tent, he just made a new tent to put it under. I find that fascinating. Why would he do that? But anyways, so the tent that Moses had made, the tabernacle, that had been there for, you know, how much time has passed here? 500 years? Is that right? Roughly. They'd had this tent, right? And it used to always have the ark in it, but the ark had gone on its own adventure, and then it'd come back, and then David, instead of bringing the tabernacle to unify them, the tabernacle was still at Gibeon, and the altar that they had made in those days was still there, and so Solomon wanted to, I kind of think of it like he was making a pilgrimage. He's used to the ark being nearby. It was a little bit more of a putting himself out to make this pilgrimage to the tent. I also look at it like he was seeking the ancient ways. You know, that scripture that God wants to reestablish for us, the ancient ways, mm-hmm. Right? And he was doing that. He knew his father in the flesh. He was seeking the true things of God, so he's going up there. And God honored him. Now, the fact that was there at a high place, I mean, that's not good, but it was there, right? It was there. So he went there. And he, you know, he makes an offering. He has a dream that night. And God shows up to him in the dream and says, "What do you want? I'll give you whatever you want." And he says, where did I put that? Let's see. 10, give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people. For who can govern this people of yours, which is so great? Right? He asked for wisdom to be a good king to the people. He wasn't focused on himself and what was good for him, what his flesh wanted. He said, I want to serve this people well. Right? 11, God answered Solomon, because this was in your heart and that you have not asked for possessions, wealth, honor, or the life of those who hate you and have not even asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself that you may govern my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. So he says, I'll give you what you asked for. He says, also, I will also give you riches, possessions, and honor, such as none of the kings who were before you and none after you shall have the like. So he's saying, you offer to take care of my people, and so I will help you do that. I will give you the wisdom to do that. But because your heart is to serve me and the people, I will give you all the other things other people want. You know, I know what's in your flesh. I know what people want. I will give you those things too, because first and foremost, your desire was to serve me and my people, right? Jesus basically referenced the same idea when they're asking him about money and food and stuff. He says, look, you know, he's like, you know, the birds don't worry about such things. The fields, you know, the fields aren't sitting there worrying, and they still have beautiful flowers, more beautiful than Solomon's clothing, right? The richest king ever. He says, but seek you. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you. Mm-hmm. You see that? I know we've talked about it before, but it's a powerful, powerful message from God. Look, God says, I'm not out to hurt you. If you think, oh, there's all this talk of judgment in the Bible, well, that's to get our attention. God says, I don't want to hurt you. I want to bless you more than you can imagine, right? But you're under the curse when you walk in the ways of the world. I want you to come out of the curse and come into the blessing. And if you walk in my ways, you will walk in the blessing, and I will bless you more than you can imagine. See that? Okay, and then, so then it kind of talks about how wealthy he is. Chapter 2, he starts to build the temple, right? Or gets ready. So he sends word to Hiram, king of Tyre, and said, hey, you helped my dad. I want you to help me. If you will send a great builder, someone who really knows how to do this kind of thing, I will send you all the food you need to take care of your labor force to do that. And the king says, hey, that's good. Israel's blessed to have you as a king. He sends it. And the chapter ends with them counting all the aliens. So the people, when they conquered the land, they didn't kill all the foreigners, right? As they were told they were supposed to do. So they had all these foreigners living amongst them. But they were servants. So he makes all the servants do all the work, right? And so it tells us the jobs that they have. And next we go to 1 John chapters 1 and 2. I love the way John starts 1 John and the way he starts his gospel. I won't read it, but I think it's just beautiful. The one thing I will point out, because we just talked about it last night in our family devotional, we were given a Advent calendar thing, and I just kind of flipped through it, and I liked the way it was done. So we're gonna go through it, and it's more of the big picture of God's purpose and plan than it is, I can only handle so much Jesus in a manger. But that's not what this one's about. So we talked about darkness and light, right? Because we started in Genesis 1. And 1 John 1, 5 says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So this picture repeats over and over in the scripture, right? If you ever gotten up when it's nighttime, there's no lights on, it's dark, and it's hard to get around, not sure where everything is, you're kind of sticking your hands out, hoping you don't bump into things. Walking with God is a light being turned on in our room, right? In our life. Okay, then going to chapter 2, verse 4. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. So he said, it's not about what we say. It's about how we live, who we are, mm-hmm. Right? He says, I don't care if you go and you say, I know Christ. Mm-hmm. I want to know, do you walk in his ways? Mm-hmm. Right? Do you practice what he taught? Or do you say, oh, those things don't matter. It's just I know Christ. That's all I need. It's super common today. And he says, the truth is not in you if you're like that. 5, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. So God is looking to perfect his love in a people. Mm-hmm. And so in order for this to happen, we keep his word. Mm-hmm. Right? By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. He is our way and our truth and our life. So we walk in the same way he does. He is the very truth of life. And in him we have life. And his life is in us if we are walking in him. Mm-hmm. Right? So we walk the way he lives. That doesn't mean we do exactly the things that he did. What he did was obey the Father. And so that's what we look to do, right? And he goes on to say, Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. He said, God has not changed his mind here. Right? Which is, I think, I haven't read it yet, but I think this Advent calendar that we started doing, that's kind of the purpose, that God has always had a purpose and a plan, and we're just part of it unfolding, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you go down to 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So again, what did Solomon choose? He said, I'm not after the things of the world. I'm after being a good king for your people, God. Uh-huh. Right? For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh. So he gives, I reference this a lot, he gives three core areas of sin that all other sin mm-hmm. kind of springs from. They fall into these categories. Desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and pride of life. Right? Mm-hmm. Things our flesh wants, things that we see and we want with our eyes, being puffed up in pride. Right? Being proud of who we are in this world. 17, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Did you get a letter, Willow? Yeah. So, he said, the world and its ways, its desires are passing away. But when we do the will of God, we're walking in his spirit, in his life, in his way. Mm-hmm. And then we have eternity in us. And then we will live forever. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, that's a high standard. Mm-hmm. He's setting a high standard here, right? And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Let me skip down to 24. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Again, mm-hmm. he says, let go of your fallen worldly reality, your environment, your pride, your lust, your passions, your desires of the flesh. And be filled with eternity. Obey God. Seek God. Receive God. That your life is eternal. Right? You begin to live the eternal life now. 29. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. I just highlighted that one because we talked about Jesus' comment. Seek first the kingdom and righteousness. And all these other things will be given to you. Right? And then we're finishing the book of Micah, chapter 7. And what was your question, Weston?
Why do they mention Mount Carmel so much?
So it's where God empowered Elijah to stand alone against this entire nation of Israel, right? It was God's people, mm-hmm. but the leadership, the king and queen had turned away from God's way. And we're going their own way and leading the people into a defiled way of living. And so he gathered the people and he gathered all the priests of Baal and Asherah and he challenged them. And God showed himself true and righteous and mm-hmm. powerful and humiliated these other ways, right? Mm-hmm. So he stood against this overwhelming odds. That's a scary thing, right? This king wants to kill you. All these priests want to kill you. There's hundreds of them, and there's one of you. But he knows, I am God's. God is sending me here. God is more powerful than all these things I see. Right? Mm-hmm. And so he challenged them. He humiliated them. And God backed him up and showed himself powerful. And then he encouraged the people to go kill all these priests. Right? Mm-hmm. And so it's a powerful message of either one or a small group of people standing firm in the ways of God against the world. And God uses these small remnants. He's done it over and over again throughout history. Mm-hmm. in order to rebuild the ancient ways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the book, or the chapter 7, starts out, woe is me. You know, he's just talking about how all the people have gone astray. Right? They're not living God's way. Verse 6 talks all about how family, sons treat the father with contempt. Daughter rises up against her mother. He talks about the families aren't even at peace amongst themselves. The order of God isn't in the family. We very much see that today. But God says the very last paragraph of the Old Testament talks about this must be fixed. And we'll get there within a month. 7, but as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. So he says, I don't care what all you people are doing. I stand for God. I pray to God. I follow his ways, and he will hear me. He, you know, I choose to walk in the ways of blessing. And he says, you know, my enemies, you can rejoice over me if you want. But in verse 9, I will bear the indignation of the Lord. This is cool. Let me just read it first. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my cause and executes judgment for me, he will bring me out to the light. I shall look upon his vindication. He says, I will, that's like when Paul says, I will complete the suffering of Christ. You know, I will finish what Christ hasn't finished. That's kind of like, it's a shocker for a lot of people, but he's the same thing. He knows he's sinned, like he's fallen short in certain ways, right? He says, I will bear whatever indignation. The Lord uses these things in order to train us, test us, and grow us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he says all this knowing the Lord will execute judgment for me. He will bring me out to the light, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I will see his vindication. He's not even saying I'm vindicated because I'm good. He's saying I'm vindicated because he's good, right? He's vindicated. His way is vindication. 14, shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, who dwell alone in a forest in the midst of a garden land. Let them graze in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. So again, there's a shepherd shepherding his people,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're regaining the ancient ways. 15, as in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show them marvelous things. The nations shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall lay their hands on their mouths. Their ears shall be deaf. So he's saying that he's going to show himself powerful to and through his people so that the people of the world are shocked and filled with awe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 18, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgressions for the remnant of his inheritance? So he says, God is filled with compassion and love for those who truly seek him.
Mm-hmm.
That he forgives are the ways in which we've been wayward because we truly want to live his way. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us, right? And so he shows he will, 20, you will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. So he will fulfill his promise. He will have a people. He will have a kingdom that overcomes this world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we finish with Psalm 108 and 109. They're both prayers to God of David, right? And the second one is very vindictive against the people who are against him, right? It's probably all a cover about that. But it's important we remember we now have understanding, right? That David was in real physical battles. We're in spiritual battles. It's okay to be vindictive and to call down the wrath of God against the spirits that are against us, right? Not the people that they may be acting through, but mm-hmm. the spirits, right?
Mm-hmm.
David was in a time where they were really killing lots of people, so it's a little different. 108, at the end, he's calling, he feels rejected from God, and he's calling for help in battle. But but most of it is a great praise and worship of God, right? I highlighted 5 and 6. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth, that your beloved ones may be delivered. Give salvation by your right hand and answer me. So this is God's perfect plan, right? That he's exalted, that his glory covers all the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
That his kingdom overcomes and he is glorified in all the earth. And that those who love him are delivered from the fallen world, saved from that life, and inhabiting his kingdom, abiding in him, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is God's glory. All right, that's all I have. Do you have anything else?
No. God bless you.
All right, God bless you.